cliffcentral.com.
Welcome back to Wedding Central. We are back in this year. I feel like we've been gone for such a long time.
It's been a busy 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's been a busy 2 weeks. Colin Cowie really just like absorbed
all
us,
of us.
Right?
And you had quite a hectic wedding.
Yeah, no, it was crazy, but we have survived. We're alive. Good to be back. In the studio this week, really, really excited to have Edward Chamberlain Bell from Jersey Style. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Fabulous.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, because I see you. I don't really know what to call you. So, like, is it a socialite or is it an influencer? What is it that
you
call yourself?
I think you can call me anything. Most people normally do. I don't see myself
really anything. Are you sure you want to be called anything?
It's the things that people call me behind my back that actually amuse me the most.
Oh, really?
I don't see myself as a socialite. I don't have the wardrobe. I'm no Jane Sue. I don't see myself as an influencer. Personally, I hate that word. I think it's overused and it's overapplied. I really just think, between social media and blogging, I've actually created a profile for myself that just resonates with people.
Okay. Right, which is fabulous. And the reason why is, lovely life to live. But the reason why we've really brought you in is to really, because a big part of your job is to actually attend functions and events in and around Joburg, in and around South Africa.
Almost
am
on
right?
a daily basis.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Which we're on the other side. We're hosting or we're organizing.
Back of house, yeah.
We're running the functions, yes. And I bitch about them.
Yeah. Well, so I don't know if it's a good idea we have him in the studio, because Edward was at our function last week where we hosted Colin Cowie, and we thought, oh, should we get him in, should we not,
right?
Because is he going to give us the good, bad and the ugly? I thought we would get you in to get your feedback on the experience that you had.
I must admit, I was quite reluctant to go to Colin Cowie when I was invited. But obviously, it's Colin Cowie, so it's brand association.
Right.
He is the top of his game. So I thought, if I can just get a selfie or a picture with him, I went. And also, SA School of Weddings has always invited me to really great upmarket exclusive, and you have given me exclusive invitations that I've really appreciated. So I thought, take one for the team. But I
was, so you weren't really excited to come.
I wasn't. Well, I told your PR, Daniela Franciscus from Pink Vanilla, that I was expecting a day of endless bridal prints and bouquets, and I just thought there's not going to be anything in it for me.
Can I ask, can I just jump in there?
Yes.
Why would that particularly bore you? Because I also think that, you know, maybe any men that are listening to the show might be thinking, shucks, anything that my wife drags me to that has wedding in it must be that kind of, why is that like a bore? Why is that like not your cup of tea?
Well, I think if you ask any man who's been married once is enough. I've actually told my husband, when we get divorced, he can keep the house, but I'm keeping the name. Now, I'm actually being a bit facetious, because I just thought, SA School of Weddings, what is it going to be about? It's going to be about cakes and wedding dresses and flowers. I just had that, and it's a bit short-sighted of me. That was just my opinion. But I was completely blown away, because the morning started with a social media workshop. I love social media, so that instantly resonated with me. I found it very informative. You had and also they didn't talk about social media for weddings. They talked about social media etiquette in general, which they wrapped up very neatly about certain protocols at weddings. Should you photograph the bride and post it without her permission? This is her day.
And the timing of posting.
Let the bride break the news and set the tone. So I thought that was very interesting. And I know we're all guilty of this when we post pictures. We post the best looking pictures of ourselves.
That's it.
And they said, this is the one time you post the best looking picture of
the
bride.
So
it was little refinements like that actually sort of gave me a lot of insight that I found very relevant.
I'm interested to know from you and Tombi, because you obviously were there in the talk. I was running
back
all over.
House, running
back of house.
Function, yeah.
You know, I think in the wedding industry, we are quite good at our social media.
Right.
And, you know, what did you take away from it?
You know, for me, and, you know, when I spoke to some of the guests there, I think guests like Edward, who were on the guest side of things, would take a lot more from it. Because it was a lot of information from the other side.
Yeah.
But from our side, in terms of suppliers, the social media side, from our side, in terms of suppliers, it's a very different approach.
Yeah.
You wouldn't necessarily post a lot of the couple because it is a privacy thing.
Yes.
So you try not to post a lot of people in the photos, because that is an issue of, you know, how much does the couple want you to reveal? Does the couple really want a photo of them kissing on the thing? Do they want, you know, those moments are so precious to couples that we tend to not post those kinds of pictures.
And we wait for the professional images.
A lot of the time.
Because we want to make sure our brides look.
Because it's a brand thing as well. So, and you find that we're doing a whole, it's a wholesome approach in terms of, you know, your decor and the stationery and like all of the elements that make the function, you know, full. So we took different things from it. And in terms of, you know, the different platforms and that kind of thing, there was a lot of information in that sense. So I think everyone could grab something from it.
And then we had Sapiwe Moyo, and he was, I think he, everyone just really enjoyed him because
loved
he was,
him.
What did you feel?
I couldn't tell if he was a motivational speaker or a stand-up comedian because he did both jobs so brilliantly. Is what I learned from him. And he was speaking about empowering yourself and moving forward and rising above your circumstances. But he did it with so much humor and unexpected wit that people were literally rolling in the aisles, to speak, the proverbial aisles.
Yeah.
And that as well, I thought, okay, this is not what I was expecting. Mm. And he wasn't talking about weddings. It was more of a motivational speak for the wedding industry.
Yeah.
And even there, I actually took something home from it.
Mm. Which I found was great. I think also, you know, the topic that, you know, when I saw the topic on the agenda, you know, David Bloch was the MC. So he was actually taking us through, you know, what to expect or whatever. And I was like, oh my God. I think it was something about like economic times or, you know, like, you know, keeping up with what's happening now. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ, like another
boring,
you know, no, but because everybody's so, you know, gung-ho, you know, junk status and, you know, it's this whole depression thing and whatnot. I was just like already exhausted. But he was such a fresh breath, like, what is it, a breath of fresh air and completely entertaining and completely engaging. Like, you couldn't help but listen to what it is he was saying. Like, I remember I had to even go to the bathroom while he was speaking. I tried to hold it till the last last. Like, you know, because he was that entertaining, you wanted to get all of that information from him, which was very, very, which was very, very nice. I thought as well, something that I find people perhaps maybe do wrong, and maybe David, you can interject here. People constantly get comedians to come in for functions to do a set on, you know, goodness, whatever. They're an MC or whatever the case is. But I found, like what Edward is saying, I found it very, it was a good way to mix the content with the actual comedy. I found that much more, and I've had comedians come into weddings and stuff like that, but I found that the way he mixed the content, and it wasn't an outright comedian speaking, I found that so much better than seeing a known comedian and knowing what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What do you find in terms of choosing comedians for your function? Is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it overdone? Like, what do you think? Is, you know, what's your opinion?
I think it depends on the kind of function, but generally, I actually also, you sometimes see the same comedians using the same material, so that is a risk. But what I do find is the best motivational speakers are the ones who actually inform and educate you, but not where they bore you to death with 10 steps to solve your life, but mix some humor in it. And there are a couple of, and don't ask me for the names on the spot, but there are a couple of professional speakers who actually really entertain and engage and amuse. The minute you start boring people, eyes glaze over. But then also you go to where, and it sounds great, pulling a celebrity stand-up comedian, but if I was in the wedding industry, maybe I don't want to hear Trevor Noah repeat everything that he said on Saturday Night Live. I want to get something that I can use for my business. And one thing I took from Sapiwe was he told all the event organizers who were there, do not rest on your laurels. People aren't interested in your last job. They're interested in your next job.
And that's what Colin even said.
Yes. You're only as good. That's what did he say? Somebody asked him, you're only as good as your next job. And he's like, what's the function that you're most worried about? And he said the next one.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, you can't really say, oh, wow, that was amazing.
Yes.
People don't really care. And I think in this day and age, that instant, you know, with social media, everything's so instant. a function only lasts about a day.
Yeah.
You post it and there's likes and stuff and it was great and the moment's gone. And yeah, sure, the couple and the family and, you know, whoever's been through it, they will remember it forever. But, you know, with social media, everyone's like, okay, but we've seen this one.
Yeah.
Like, come with the next one. You can only push it that far.
And Edward, with you being at so many functions, whether it be a conference or a social event, what do you find is the biggest mistakes organizers make?
The biggest mistake that my two pet peeves, one is they don't give specific times. Sometimes they'll say 12, or they'll say 12 for 12:30, or they say 12, but they mean 12.
Yes.
So I think get the timekeeping. Colin touched on this as well. He won't tolerate a bride who's 15 minutes late.
Yeah.
So if he can do it, we can all do it.
Yeah.
South
Africans, listen, please. It's my people also that are like the huge people.
We also work on African time. Yeah. It's like, well, everybody does it. But I also find it offensive that if I've made the time to get to a venue on time, and then I have to wait 45 minutes because the PR or the organizers don't want to move ahead until somebody special
has arrived.
And I think, you know what? Start on time, finish on time. That is my biggest. And then also be specific if partners are included or not. If it's work related during work hours, I can understand it's business. But if it's during social hours, especially on a Friday night, and I've had a bit of both ways where I've taken my partner and you get a very snippy response, we'll put out an extra chair. Don't worry. Or you ask, are partners allowed? And they say, no partners. But then when you get there, everyone's got
a partner.
And you stand there like the social misfit. This is why I'm always on Twitter so much. I don't have nobody to talk to.
And this is something that I want to actually ask. For events, and I struggle with it as well. And this is, I have a huge phobia of small talk because I'm not good at it at all. So if I don't know. Zero. I talk a lot to people that I know. No, but if I don't know anyone,
like, whatever.
Trust, I will gravitate to a dark corner with my coffee. Or alcohol, whatever's, you know, available.
Like your alcohol.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm more excited about the alcohol than the coffee.
You know, and you know, I'll sit by myself. Do you think if events could, do you think it's advisable that they invite people in pairs rather than, because another thing is when you look at it from an event point of view, number one, it could be a cost thing. Number two, it could be they forcing people to network. Because if I come with my, you know, my crony, chances are I'm not going to talk to anyone else. I'm going to sit with my person. We're going to, you know, go through the whole day together and that's going to be the end. But if I go by myself, I'm forced to, you know, talk to the person that's next to me or whatever. But what do you think in terms of invites? Do you think it would be fairer if events considered always inviting in pairs, even during work hours? Because taking a colleague is still better than going alone, even if it's not a partner.
Also true. I must admit, I always agree that it is a cost issue because if you can have 10 people costing 10,000 rand and they bring partners, it's now 20,000rand. I don't really mind. And also, if it's during the day, you obviously can't take your life partner, but you can take a colleague, and I find it's easier to network with like a wingman.
It is.
And
I think that everyone enjoys it more.
When you have a partner with.
Yes, if you have somebody that you know, because then
talk to that person.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, you went to engage.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So when you're by yourself,
you're forced. It is a forced thing. You have to say hi and you got to strike up a conversation. And especially when you're from somewhere completely different to everyone else, or you're in a different workspace, or you do something
different.
You know, it can be quite challenging, but it does force you out of your comfort zone.
Sorry, I jumped in your mouth there. Sorry.
Happens a lot. Especially when they've been drinking.
I look at it like this,
regardless of which industry you're in, there are always going to be cliques, and there's going to be frenemies and there's going to be enemies. And sometimes you go to an event and people stonewall you. Other times you go to an event and you're the belle of the ball because you know everybody. Yeah. And just coming back to the cost thing, if it's during the day, I appreciate I'm going on my own because it's working hours. But if it's at night, and that's because I'm Josie style, I'm taking a partner with me because I know that the value I bring to the party is already paying for his meal and his drink. And it's not as though, I know a lot of media are alcoholics and whores, they'll jump at anything that's for free. If I go out in the evening, I generally drink water, and I'm quite a conservative eater, and so is my partner. So it's not as though we're going for a freeload.
Yeah.
I just think, you know what, I want to bring my partner. You're taking me out of my comfort zone, out of my home, out of my family time. So I just say, I'm bringing my partner.
That's
if you don't want me,
then
and normally people say, fine, bring a partner. Yeah. You can bring a partner.
Just going back to the timekeeping.
Yeah.
Coming from the other side.
Right.
The biggest challenge we faced that day is because everyone was enjoying the experience so much. Because, you know, it wasn't like, okay, you're just going to have tea, but you were having tea and there was like a display of eats and everyone just wanted to experience the visuals that we had put on.
And the photographs and everything.
Do it
so
for
it
the
was
gram.
A challenge for us trying to, I felt like I was constantly herding sheep.
Yeah.
Because everyone was like, oh, but I just want to take a photo and I just want to see this and I just want to see that. And it was, we'd allocated time for the movement of the guests. But it just, everyone was just enjoying their time. So yes, we put out a schedule and we ran late, but it was because it was guests enjoying the experience. And I think that was a challenge for us.
Yes. You know, it's for the first time, I can't even say, you know, I can't even, you know, toot my horn and say I've done it often. For the first time, a wedding I most recently did was the first traditional wedding that ran on time according to schedule. And that's because I almost overscheduled time.
Yes.
And if you really do need to be realistic that herding 100 people or 400 people is not something that's going to take 5 minutes.
No.
People are very slow to pack up their stuff, move. I want to finish my conversation. I want
photos.
You know, and also you need to consider not everybody eats and drinks at the same rate as you do. So even with cocktails, I'm having a drink or whatever, but I'm also chatting.
Enjoying it.
Yeah. So it's just, you really do almost have to over allocate time for you to be able to run on time. You can't say something's going to be half an hour for 150 people, because that's 150 people, toilet, phone, photos, gram, interacting about what's just, it's too much to try squeeze in. So I find that, but again, I know in theory, if you look at a thing and you say tea time for an hour, it sounds ridiculous.
Yeah.
But realistically, you know, and again, also you don't want to waste people's time, because if you're going to say a function is going to go from 9 o'clock till six, I mean, you know, Edward, you attend functions often. Do they give you an end time? Do you want to know when the end is?
If they don't give end times, but when they do, it's greatly appreciated, because then, and also I like an end time because I've been invited to lunches where I think, okay, this is going to be cool, like make it an hour and a half and get an hour for traffic or whatever. And then you find out it's a 5-course fine dining wine pairing with an
and it's like the entire afternoon.
The whole day.
How long is this going to be? It's going to be 6 hours. And I think, you know, I have to get into the office, and now I'm doubly annoyed because I didn't know it was going to be such a protracted, but if I'd known, I could take the day off and I can plan my schedule.
Yeah.
Other times I've gone to launches where expecting great things, we're seeing an hour, they say thank you, here's your parking ticket, and you think, I drove all the way to Braamfontein for an hour for you to talk about something that you really didn't tell me much about. So I just think it's common courtesy, and I see it as a double-edged sword. A, for event planners, is people arrive late and then they complain that something went over time. But then I also think, and I'm not just speaking from a media perspective, I'm speaking as a person who goes out a lot generally, is I like to know, arrive at 6 for 6:30, you may bring your partner, we expect the evening to be over by 10:30. If you like to stay to network, join us for an after party. And then you can say, because I always feel awkward arriving late, leaving early, and apologizing. It's like, if I know it's going to be 4 hours, I can say I'll be there. And I don't think people mean it in a mean way. Sometimes I think people plan these. I was invited to a dinner in the sky. So obviously the logistics of dinner up and dinner down. And
toilets and...
It just dragged. And I was like this. I was on tenterhooks thinking, I have to get into the office. I don't have time to be swinging in the sky.
I'm ready to come down now, please.
So I just sometimes think like, and for me, it's very important. Give us an agenda so we know what is going to happen. And I think we touched on this earlier. How do you tell people what they can look forward to without ruining the surprise?
Yes.
So, so important. That whole managing of expectations, because giving somebody a full agenda, and the thing is also an agenda is also can be double-sided, because you read a certain thing, like for example, the weddings and whatnot, and you think, oh my God, I don't want to go because of the agenda, but you get there and it's completely different.
Yeah.
How do you appropriately manage your guests' expectations? Because you want them to be excited, you know, but at the same time, you
not
still want them to get...
Away.
Yeah. You still want to have like an element of surprise.
It's a tricky question, but I'm imagining is if you say 12:30 cocktails, 1 o'clock presentation, break for lunch, do something, lucky draw. Mm. You don't have to go and tell them the lucky draw is going to be a bottle of Moët, and you don't have to tell them that the guest speaker is going to be Gareth Cliff, for example. So you can still tell them this is what is happening, but then leave an element of surprise. Mm. And one thing I do want to touch, because I know we're going to jump onto Colin Cowie quickly. The one thing that really impressed me about what SA School of Weddings did with the Colin Cowie As Good As Gold, normally a lot of the, and it's par for the course, normally you go to a lot of these conventions or workshops and you expect the sponsors and the suppliers to talk endlessly about how committed they are to the environment and what they're doing for uplifting. And you think, you know, really, it's just like PR speak. The one thing that I noticed with all the fabulous speakers, including yourself, and if you look at all the food, I mean, there was like welcome drinks and snacks. There's a morning tea, there's lunch, which is extended as well. And then there's an afternoon tea and there's cocktails. I mean, I just went for the food. I mean, if I think about it, I was quite glad. But not once did SA School of Weddings get up, either of you ladies, get up and start talking about what a wonderful job you're doing. You didn't even introduce Colin, you had MCs. There wasn't branding and signage anywhere, as far as I could tell.
There was. There was definitely branding on all the sponsors, but it was subtle.
It was very subtle. And it was on the agenda. And it was only when I was leaving and I thought, not only did I learn a lot, not only did I gain a lot, but there was none of this. We are SA School of Weddings. We Wedding Central. This is how fantastic we are. And I thought, and the same could be said for Pink Vanilla, is actions speak louder than words. You don't have to tell people how fantastic you are. But when I looked at your displays, I looked at the food, I looked at the variety of the food. I mean, you had, or just to say, five food breaks. And then also the flowers and the fire dancers. Is I was looking at certain things and I thought, yeah, if I were to get married again, maybe not if, when I get married again, this is the kind of event that I would like organized, where it's not in your face, but everything speaks volumes. That to me, I thought was very impressive.
And everything is done purposely. So then my question to you is,
where's a lot of people, sorry to interrupt you, a lot of people kept saying to me, why didn't you go up and say something? I was like, no.
You know, for me, I think it was a great taste thing. And for me, the thing is, all of the speakers, most of the speakers that got up did pay tribute. You know, Kylie, thank you so much. It's an excellent function. So people were very much aware of the presence of the SA School of Weddings and how the whole function came to be, etc. But this is one function which I think was done really tastefully well, where it wasn't in your face. And I think people appreciate it because there really is nothing worse than walking into a function and you forget what the function is even about because there are 18,000 sponsors and everybody's got business cards and flyers and all kinds of things and you just can't get past that to get to the actual whatever the content of the function is. But what do you think? How can an event organizer who's doing a function that is sponsored, do you think sponsors can easily buy into something where they don't have so much face time, so to say, with the guests or, you know, it's not so in your face? How do you think, or do you think sponsors need to start being aware that that is not perhaps as much appreciated as perhaps being subtly in the background and maybe more shown on social media? Or like, how does one then rope sponsors in? Or what would you say to sponsors to pay attention for? Perhaps this is maybe a way of moving forward.
I often tell people nobody wants to hear you talk for more than 15 minutes. So I'm quite grateful you ladies are giving me 30 minutes. But I often tell people it's like people are aware who the wine is from, who the sponsor is, if the signage is there. And also when the invitation comes out in kind collaboration with a particular company, generously sponsored by so-and-so, people are happy. And if it's a really great event and people are looking for entertainment value, if it's a really great event, they'll go and they'll tell people, this is a really great event and it was sponsored by Celsi. Sorry, I didn't mean to mention their names.
Okay, all good.
People know. And one thing that I often find, because I often do a lot of social media foodie meetups, and we'll have a wine sponsor come on board. And initially people would say, the wine is being sponsored by a certain vineyard. They would just is my worst word, they would just like to share a bit about their wine during courses. And the first two times it is fine, but you get served your food, and now the sommelier or the vineyard or the winemaker just wants 2 minutes to tell you about the berries and the cherries. And I think my food is getting cold. I know where the wine is from. I know what it tastes like. And maybe when you've picked up your menu, all the wine is kindly sponsored by a particular... Mm. I went to a Cabernet tasting yesterday. Between those six Cabernets, they all tasted the same, except the one. I remember exactly who sponsored it. I don't need to be told. Mm. And I feel it's a difficult position because Pierre is obviously there to sell their company.
100%.
Government is the worst. Companies will say, we want FaceTime. But government are not going to come to, especially the higher powered MECs. I was going to say MCCs.
Yeah.
More of a foodie than a... Especially the high ones. They have to talk. And I think people have got very short attention spans.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Give them a punchy soundbite in 5 minutes and everybody's happy.
Yeah.
And that way, I think brands actually build up or endear themselves to people. It's like, thank heavens they didn't spend the whole evening talking about themselves.
Yeah. I think it's definitely a way to go. I think sponsors, you know, companies in general really do need to see a different way of interacting with guests when they sponsor certain functions. I think social media is a huge thing, and anything that you can do perhaps afterwards. I mean, the goodie bag is always a great place to put all your goods and stuff in there, but I really don't think FaceTime is a must. You know, you have the photo booth, which I think worked great at the Colin Cowherd because you have everyone's details there. Like Edward is saying, you were constantly aware of who was involved. And, you know, the social media and creating a hashtag, which is another thing that I wanted to ask you about, you know, creating a hashtag and creating that awareness makes it much easier for then the sponsors to interact with people. Because if somebody says, oh, enjoying a lollipop from wherever, then it's quite easy to, you know, retweet or interact or, you know.
Oh, that hashtag. I mean, the hashtags work phenomenally well because it was also nice to see everyone else's images and you were able to network that way as well.
100%. And see who's at the function, because a lot of times, you know, with social media, you have a lot of social media friends, but you don't actually know them in real life.
Yes.
So, no.
You know, social media at least connects you and you can say, oh, this person's actually here. Let me go find them or whatever the case is. Creating a hashtag for an event, how far in advance do you start? And, you know, how easy do you need to make it? Because I find, especially with wedding hashtags, people, you know, couples spend this time trying to figure out this really beautiful, meaningful hashtag. And then you find that when you try search the hashtag, maybe four people have used it because everyone kind of makes their own because they know the bride, they know the groom, they call them something else. Or, you know, it becomes a thing. How far in advance, like, do you start with the invitation and start putting the hashtag out?
Absolutely.
I see, like, Carly's nodding her head. So
Absolutely. From the get-go, from the save the dates. Like,
but which one is it? Because we had As Good As Gold, then we had Colin Cowherd.
No, it was always Colin Cowherd JHB 2017.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I knew it the other way around. But which, how do you decide? How do you decide what's the easiest hashtag to go with?
I like to play around with different hashtags for different reasons. Sometimes I just want simplicity. Sometimes I like to create the longest looking hashtag. So if it trends, it takes up two lines on Twitter.
Ah.
But that's personal vanity.
I love it.
I'm not taking up one line, I'm taking up two. But if it's a business event or if it's – but I think also if it's important to get it trending, your guests are going to be drinking, they're going to be forgetful, is make your hashtag as simple as
possible.
And I think even if – one of my hashtags, if you don't mind, a shameless punt is hashtag Dine Jersey Style. I like that because that is my brand, that is my blog, that is everything that I do. And it tells you what I do. I'm eating out. Theoretically, I could also make it hashtag DJS, which is a lot shorter.
Right.
And if people are really curious enough, they'd click on and see, oh, it's all about food. So, I mean, you can play around with it either way. We did a social media activation for a wine company the other night, and we thought it was going to go very well. It appears everybody arrived a lot earlier, started drinking a lot sooner on an empty stomach. Food only came out 3 hours later. So by the time we started trying to explain what a hashtag was, let alone what it was, people were done.
Far gone.
So we just dropped it down to a five-word hashtag just to get it out. So I think if you want your hashtag to trend, you've got to tell people well in advance so there's no confusion. And then also keep it as simply as possible because a lot of people – I don't want to say a lot of people in this country are semi-literate, but a lot of people in this country are semi-literate, even after they've passed matric. So trying to get them to spell words correctly. I even had to look up Colin Cowherd. Is it a double L? Is it one L?
Yeah, with an E or...
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like find a way to keep it as simple as possible, as effective as possible.
Yeah. And as well, then putting the hashtag all over so people can see it wherever they are. Because, I mean, at the event, you had it like at registration. You have it kind of all over the place. Do you think that's... that's a yes or that's a no?
It's a yes.
Yeah, easily so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, easily so. Because people, yeah, seriously, people constantly ask, what's the hashtag? And
yeah,
people are, and what I find is that people walk into functions with their phones. You cannot ignore having a hashtag at your function. It's a definite, especially if you want people. Now my question is, how do you get a function to trend? Are you purely dependent on...
You get 100 tweets, isn't it? And it's over 100, it starts to...
No, you can actually have a lot less. I've had events that have trended with just 4 people around a dinner table and not even tweeting hysterically. A couple of things, just double-edged sword for me, is it also depends what's happening on the day.
Yeah.
Yes.
What you're competing with.
When fees must fall, I just knew nobody's going to trend that day. It doesn't matter how special you think.
No, definitely not.
So it depends what's happening and also how active you can be and who's involved.
Mm.
It's not difficult to trend. And I also think, like at a wedding, if you've got 50 to 100 people, if they can just push it out there, get it trending. I don't think it's appropriate to try and make a wedding trend.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't want that.
But if the bride wants it and she wants to trend, so be it.
Yeah.
The other thing that I find with, and maybe not so much with weddings, but with events, I know there are a lot of people on social media who will tweet like they're on steroids, but I find their content mundane and it's got nothing of value. My pet hate is when you see somebody who calls themselves a foodie and they go to a restaurant, they'll say steak, egg, and chips. And I think, well, is it well done? Is it nice? Is the sauce, is it good? Is it bad? It's like, I recognize steak, egg, and chips.
I can see it.
We can all see it, but what is it like?
Yeah.
What are you telling us?
Tell me the experience.
Sell it to me. But it's just like steak, egg, and chips, and it's done. The other thing that I find with hashtags and with a lot of events, I think hashtags, whether it's for a corporate or a bridal, needs to be tasteful. Nothing is a kiss of death to me than when I go to an event and they tell me, the person who tweets the most will win a trip to Mauritius.
Oh, yeah.
Because the minute I hear that, I think my followers are more important than a trip to Mauritius. I hope my followers hear this. I want my Jersey stylers on social media to know that me not spamming them is more important than going to Mauritius.
100%, yeah.
I'll put in 1 or 2 tweets. And I think this is when you're talking about influencers. Mm. A lot of people don't know their value. And maybe I'm being narcissistic, but I often tell people my value when I go to an event is not to make your hashtag trend and not to tweet about it 100,000 times in the evening.
That people become bored.
Yeah. My value is the fact I'm there, I enjoyed X amount of things, and I'll continue the conversation and the narrative over the next couple of days. But I also want to enjoy myself, so I'm not tweeting like Megatron.
What is screen in your face?
You've obviously been to functions where you don't enjoy them. Do you put that out there?
I have. I went to...
I'd love to show your face on none.
I'm trying so hard to say no, but as you said it, I just thought, I have been, I try not to do it anymore, but I thought I was being very funny. I went to a launch and I waited 45 minutes and the barman didn't even know that the cocktail in front of him was for people. And I had to say, cocktail, people, give me one. Then I had to find a waiter and I couldn't make eye contact. And that same thing, we weren't allowed to bring partners, but everybody had partners. And I was getting cranky because I hadn't eaten anything. Mm. So as I was leaving, I thought, I don't know if I'm allowed to say what I want to say, but I thought, enough of this. As I left, I went, that's an appalling launch. And I tagged their hashtag and I tagged the company. 60 seconds later, the PR company called and said that they're very upset that I'm upset. And I said, I'm good. I'm glad you're upset that I'm upset. Mm. By some strange quirk of fate, it was a sushi launch. And there was another sushi launch that I'd also been invited to at a rival hotel. So I went there and tagged all their sushi. Miserable looking sushi, but I tagged it nonetheless.
Right.
That got me kicked off their media list for a year. And then a little bit later, somebody got me back onto the media list.
Mm.
But I have had a couple of times where I've actually gone to an event. And I'm not the kind of person who's critical or tries to be bitchy. Yeah. I just try to be... This is the truth.
Mm.
I waited 45 minutes and I couldn't get a cocktail. I think that deserves
a
tweet.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm also finding social media, a lot of people are losing authenticity.
Yeah. I find social media all about its lies, some of it.
Mm.
It's like all about the fabulosity and then there's nobody ever talks about
the bad side of it.
Yeah,
they talk about themselves
it's
being
disingenuous,
there, not the event. So, and I've actually found a couple of times where, and sometimes I have said one or two things that maybe Pierre would have preferred me not to have said.
Yeah.
I also use a lot of humor, so you can take it a long way. But a lot of people say the fact that you can say this was an appalling launch, or you're tired of waiting, or you've been waiting or there's a mess up with the tickets.
Right.
Nothing kills me when you get to an event and they don't know who you are and they don't have tickets.
Mm.
And I'll tweet this. Because I'm not going to wait.
Yeah.
And people say, because you do actually say the truth and you speak your mind, when you do say something is fabulous, we really do believe it is fabulous.
Yeah, because it's authentic. Yeah, 100%. Is it important, now I'm speaking for event organizers, when you...
Like yourself.
Like myself. But, you know, when you are looking at a function and now starting to invite media, number one, is it very important that you get a lot of media there no matter what? Or is it very important that you choose who actually comes in terms of the media? And, you know, because you don't have control over what people say. But like what you're saying, I really appreciate the fact that, you know, you have a following, and I'm sure, you know, Daniela is aware of what the impact of your value is at a function and that kind of thing. And
I'm pretty sure Daniela is very well
aware. Yes. So, you know, it worked to her advantage. But how do you, you know, how do you select who exactly comes to your function? Or do you just somehow have, I don't even know, I'm sure, you know, like there's, I want to say like a rubbish thing or not, I'm not too sure, but there's like shua shui, which is like, I don't know, it's very below the, like the mandate. It's not good quality.
Shua shui, the fabric.
No, not shua shui. It's like I don't even know if it's a person or if it's just a brand, but they basically a gossip column on a Sunday newspaper. And that, for me, is very low budget or not appropriate.
You wouldn't want to invite him.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to have. But I feel like some people have him there at very big functions just for the sake of having him there. So I'm trying to figure out, how do you invite the right media? How do you choose the right media for your actual function?
I always go for quality over quantity. And I find a lot of times, and I have been to events where they've had like 30 media people and social media influencers who couldn't get the hashtag off the ground without Viagra. And, and I've also hosted media events where I've had four very influential people who had it trending. Not only... Actually, three, if you don't mind me saying it. Three people who not only had a hashtag trending at number one, it was trending for number one, and I got a resurge in the morning. And for myself as a foodie, when I go to foodie events, I don't sound disparaging, but when you see people are going to Starbucks and Krispy Kremes, and this is their benchmark of fine dining, when you suddenly see them at Saks, and oh, God, everything is so lovely. I've never seen food like this before. And I think... doesn't work.
Yeah.
I also find a lot of media, specifically with foodies, there are certain very respected editors who get invited to foodie launches, but they create recipes for their magazines. They're not going to share your recipes. So I think sometimes you need to cherry pick and find the right person. And it's the same with skincare. Is if a beauty blogger's range is limited to the entire contents at L'Oreal, you're not going to believe her authenticity when she suddenly starts raving about, I'm going to say QMS because I'm the brand ambassador, when she suddenly starts raving about a prestigious brand. So I think find out what the person's narrative is, what their dialogue is about. And I was very amused a while ago because some people were going to eating Haagen-Dazs for breakfast because it's so healthy for you. And I thought, it's only healthy for you if you only eat salads for the rest of the day, because the saturated fat in a small little Haagen-Dazs is quite nasty.
Sure.
The following week, they were all doing spirulina shots because their health is important to them. And I thought,
my word.
I'm looking for consistency. I'm looking for dialogue. I'm looking for authenticity.
Yes.
I think that's the word. So get the right people. And for myself, I'm not blowing my own horn, but well, I am. But I was invited to a fruit-flavored wine, and I know my followers. Okay, what I do at home, the privacy of my own home is nobody's business. I know my followers are not going to be interested in me drinking a fruit-flavored wine, so I declined. And I've also been invited to other events where I thought, my followers expect me to eat not a fine dining, but a generally artisanal sort of diet, a healthy eating, an awareness, a consciousness. If I suddenly start going to fast food restaurants and gushing, oh, I've never been so amazed by a burger in my entire life. Well, that's not me. So I just think, That is not the kind of event that I need to go to.
So your caliber, you're like your choice.
I love that word. Say it again. Say it
caliber.
Again. My caliber.
Yeah. Now I want to know what are things that make a function not work? So sometimes, yes, it looks great and there's all these fabulous things, but what are things that particularly work well for the guest experience? Like, for example, you mentioned the whole ticket thing and there's not a ticket and, you know, there's no one at, you know, maybe there's no registration desk or whatever the case is. And this could also help perhaps even brides, because I find sometimes you focus so much on the aesthetics that you forget about, for example, your seating chart. And the seating chart can really spoil somebody's mood if they are at the wrong table or they've been left off the seating chart or, like, people just really want to have a cadenza.
You misspell their name.
You know, or it's the wrong title, you know what I mean? Doctor, it's Mrs. or, you know, whatever, Mrs. versus, you know, those kinds of things. But what are particular things that make a function from a guest point of view more successful, flow easier, make the experience, you know, amazing?
I think you
besides the aesthetic, sorry.
I think you ladies be more aware of this than I am, but very often it's the unseen things that actually contribute towards a really successful event. Mm. It's not about the flowers and the lighting and the music and the food. It's about the flow of the evening. And I find from arrival, sometimes you go to events and, like, the ladies who are checking you in at reception aren't very warm and welcoming. They must treat you with disdain.
Mm. Yeah.
Put that smile on your face, whether you like it or not.
Suck it up.
Paste it on.
And even if you don't know who the person is, so nice to see you. How are you doing? Is it for one or two? What is your name? Just get the details. Get the cocktail in their hand. Mm. Get them moving. Introduce them to somebody.
Yes.
Often if I find people on
That's great. That's great.
You think everybody knows each other?
But they're, yeah.
I've also found that a couple of events, because we've all been that person who's got nobody to talk to. So I've also tried to talk to people I've seen standing on their own, and they sort of look away. And I think,
you have... Goodness gracious, I'm narrow-minded of you.
Sometimes great PR can actually just smooth it and say, I'd like you to meet somebody. And
they connect
you. Then it's up to you. But I also found the minute that there are delays, that ruins an evening. And then also when there's too much self-talk or self-preach. We know we're there for a launch, but make it fun and entertaining. And I was thinking about this the other day. One of the best launches that I've been to, in addition to the Colin Cowie As Good As Gold, ironically enough, was a Mug and Bean launch. Now, everybody knows Mug and Bean, and even from a foodie perspective, how excited can we get about Mug and Bean? But what they did was, is they created, I call it like three perfect components. One, enough information to satisfy my media curiosity about what their new menu is going to be about. But then they also reinvented the menu with this little fine dining flourish and a little sense of humor, which kept us entertained, and the food was really great as well. And then there's just that X factor. You think, I've got the knowledge, I've been entertained, there wasn't a hard sales pitch, and they really did actually. They didn't change the food, they reinvented it. They had like a hash brown, but because they were miniature versions, a hash brown with a quail egg. Now, where on earth do you see yourself getting a quail's egg? Unless it was Colin Cowie at Mug and Bean. But that to me was the perfect launch.
Right.
I have actually been to launches where I just tell my friends, I'm sick of this and I'm leaving, because they preach, preach, preach. And I think I could be at home drinking box wine instead of listening to them talk.
I think what we've got from this is that it's all about the guest experience, and it's something even Colin touched on. It's like people remember and he's always said it, and I don't know how many times I've heard it come out of his mouth, because I've heard him speak quite a bit, but people remember the way you make them feel.
100%.
And I think as event planners, wedding planners, you need to make sure your guests are going to remember the way you make them feel.
100%, yeah. I just want to touch on the aesthetics, like we've addressed the experience, which is great. But in terms of the aesthetics, I mean, last week's Colin Cowie event, that theme was awesome. I don't know if you've ever actually been to Fox when it's not done up. It is
rustic. We did a site visit with our students.
Rustic being kind.
Yeah. Oh. And the one of the girls, actually, when we did the site visit, she said, Carly's bringing Colin here.
Yeah.
they were horrified.
Yeah, it's quite literally a very big shack. You know what I mean?
It's a very, very big shack.
So in terms of bringing a theme across, and I'm sure you've seen it because, again, you've attended quite a few functions. Last week for me was maybe one of the first times I've seen, and, you know, I've done functions before and I've seen corporate functions before, but I've seen a theme done so well, but again, it's not so sickening because I find that sometimes when people do a theme, it can be very kitsch or overdone, or you know, you just tasteless. It's just the levels and which elements you decide to concentrate on. And last week was done really, really well. I mean, it was this industrial chic, and it was literally top to bottom, and you know, from
and
furniture
all the old
to
tires,
you know, tires, all the furniture that was chosen, like how you do the conference seating, all of that kind of thing, that really did make a difference. What do you find, or what would you advise event organizers in terms of theme and how to do it right? And perhaps maybe you can give us feedback on last week, but I'm really interested in, you know, giving other event organizers an idea that when you choose a theme, how do you do it right so that people can really enjoy it?
I think you touched on it perfectly. The one thing that I do find is a lot of times people throw a lot of money at decor, which is going to be wasted. Mm. And I find that offensive. Other times they do a half-assed idea of taking like the country's flag and sticking in a cupcake. And I think,
so really now?
That's for a six-year-old's party. Mm. That's not for a diplomatic launch. But I actually find when it comes to themes is try and avoid being literal. Mm. Reference, pay homage, try and bring elements. But I mean, if it's like, just say, for example, a picnic by the sea, you don't have to have that blue crinkle paper coming everywhere. You can have it reflected on the plate. I went to a launch with the Greek embassy the other day, and they popped up their banners. And this was at the Radisson Blue. There was nothing that vaguely referenced Greek cuisine. And I thought, for the starters, they had a salmon on a rusty. They could have just as well had tapas. Mm. They had a beef main. Well, why not have lamb? Because that's what the Greeks are famous for. And dessert was a chocolate mousse, and I just thought, well, you could have taken a baklava cheesecake. Yes. And I can't say that, I will say, the food was faultless. I'm not faulting the food.
It's just,
but I thought subtle little changes like that makes your guests feel honored and amuses people. And sometimes I hate literal things. So if you find a subtle way of reinterpreting things, I think, this is what they're trying to do. It doesn't need to look like a playground, but it doesn't have to look like it's a tourist convention either.
Mm.
But even having said that, I think it's more about how you make people feel.
Mm.
And I think either go big or go home. Do it properly.
Do it properly. That, you know, I can't even drive that enough. You know, like when Carly first sold the idea to us, we were all just like, okay, again, one more time. Like, what do you want to do?
Poor dad, shame.
Yeah. You know, what do you want to do? And it's great, but, you know, it's either you go big or you go home, because if you do it right, then it lands and people appreciate it. And what I loved about last week is that the event kept on growing. You'd turn in a corner and you'd be like, of course. Why would I? Definitely, that makes sense. But, you know, you don't have to, like you're saying, the literal things and the obvious things.
And you think about it, last week, it was very African.
Mm.
We had marimba bands. We had gumboot dancers. We've all seen it in South Africa.
Right.
But it's how it was... How much of it? And you don't, not thrown and vomited in your face type thing, but
literally.
It was literally just. But it was just touches of it, and it really made an effect on people.
Talking about that with the gumboot dancers and also with the fire dancers, what I really was impressed with that is it wasn't made out to be a feature. Everybody come and watch the gumboot dancers. Mm. While you're getting tea, there were gumboot dancers. So if you wanted to watch. If you didn't want to, you didn't
have to. Yes.
But little things like that add interest, but you don't have to schedule people come look at the gumboot dancers. Mm. It's not like taking kids to the park.
Yeah, which I appreciate so much. So often we're forced, you know, when you're attending a function, you're forced to kind of go with whatever the planner has like done or whatever they've arranged. Give people options to do other stuff that's not strict to the part. And what I loved about last week was that people came for the content and for the talk and for the conference. And that's the part where people paid attention and they kept quiet. And all the other times, you were left to kind of your own devices. You had options. You could be entertained. You could find alcohol. You could find food. You could, you know, socialize with people, whatever. There are options. Give people options to do, because people have other stuff to do. Mm. It's tough going to a conference where I don't have a second to myself. I'm forced to go this and watch this and do this. And I'm not interested.
And even it comes down to the way people were seated.
Mm.
You know, it was very casual seating. Mm. So if you wanted to sit with your laptop on your lap, you could have, you know, not that I don't think many people did because the speakers were engaging, but hey, you know, people's lives are busy. To be out of the office the whole day is a mission.
And then I've got so much to say.
Okay, and we literally
how
much time do we have?
We got another 5 minutes and then we're on an hour.
But then I also wanted to touch on, you know, Colin Carr, we spoke about, who was a brilliant speaker, and you know, we cannot thank you enough, Carly, for bringing him out, but you know, he really touched on like the caliber of events that he does.
Mm. Unashamedly.
Gareth being our MC, I mean, he even at one stage, he was like, you actually can't even begin to fathom what he produces
100%.
And the amount of money that goes into it. And that's where David, when he touched on, actually in South Africa, we have an incredible amount of talent because we don't have those type of budgets, but we still put on world-class functions.
And that's what I wanted to ask you, Edward. Obviously, you've, again, attended many, many functions. And what I mean, Colin Cowie deals with tens of millions of dollars.
It was $25 million.
$25 million.
We did the calculation function. And it was just like, how do you say that? I felt like I was Zuma talking.
You know what I mean? And it's a lot. And in South Africa, there's not many weddings that go over R1 million.
Yeah.
There's not many functions, even with, you know, year ends or launches or whatever, where they spend over R1 million. So, in terms of caliber, yes, of course, you know, if you've got enough money, you can make anything look beautiful. You can pretty much do anything with money. But in your experience, of course, his caliber is at a different level. But South African events in general and the caliber of where we are in comparison to what people are doing with bigger budgets, what's your opinion?
I don't like people wasting money, but if you've got the money to burn and it's your income bracket, by all means, go for it. But I think if everything is done in good taste, that is what people remember. And I'll give you a classic example with Edith Venter when she did Playing for Pink. Mm. Over the top, she had a mob squad worth Miss South Africa finalists marching, stormtrooping through the field. Shortly after, she did another launch for one of the Nelson Mandela Foundations, and that was just cucumber sandwiches and mint-infused water. It wasn't over the top. It wasn't lavish. I know somebody said a couple of snippy things, and I think you forget what the tone of the occasion is. It's honoring Nelson Mandela's legacy, and obviously Edith Fenter is not going to do anything unless it's going to, like, impress. Really? So I thought, you don't need a lot of money to make, and let's look at the Gupta wedding in the Sun City.
Hey.
No amount of money can buy you taste or class.
Right.
So I think it's a question of what the occasion is. One thing I would like to recommend to event planners, save money by not printing your logo on everything, because I get rid, except for those gorgeous Colin Cowie water bottles and sachet bags. But all too often,
of course,
I find
it's once in a lifetime.
That I wear with pride.
Yeah.
But all too often, I go to really great launches, I give really great goodie bags, and then they go and mar it by putting their logo.
Mm.
And I'm quite a sentimental person, so if you give me something as a gesture of goodwill or goodie bag, if I really love it, I always remember who gave it to me. But if I've got to pull out that bag with a logo, it's pulled out with resentment. So that is like my one tip that I'd say to event planners.
Yeah.
You don't have to brand everything.
Yeah, or be strategic on where you brand it. I went somewhere and they actually branded everything on the inside. So people could still, like, the bag.
That's fabulous. That's a nice
idea. It was a shopping bag.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, shopping bags now we buy. So it was a shopping bag and all of the branding was on the inside, on the bottom, on the inside, on the handle, everything. But it was all places
discreet.
Where people couldn't see. Yeah, very, very discreet. Sure, I think I've said enough.
Yeah, I mean, we said half an hour. We're on like nearly an hour.
Time flies
when you're having fun.
It does.
So, I mean, it was awesome having you in studio. It was awesome having you at our function. And I think everyone at that function was blown away. People are saying, when is the next one? I'm like, I don't know if my budget can quite handle that. But Edward, thank you so much for joining us. And it was an absolute pleasure having you in studio. And we look forward to having you more in studio.
I look forward to that even more as well. Thank you both.
Fabulous. Thanks so much.
Did it really go into an hour? Yes.
That was quick. Sorry, just like as we kept talking, I was like, oh, and.
So that was an hour. There you go.
Oh, that was perfect. That was great fun.
That was good. It didn't feel too...
So what we'll do is once we've got the podcast, we'll send you the link and then you can...
When do you think you'll have it podcasted?
It'll probably be
later today.
Later today. Yeah. Can we get somebody just to like do a quick 10-second
yes
video?
Mm.
What are we going to do?
10-second or a minute. I don't know. I think maybe...
Wait, do you want me to...
Should we do it here in the studio?
Let's do it here so it looks like we're recording it.
Sure.
I'm thinking... Oh, that was so much fun. Thank you. You really did actually make it a lot of fun.
Thanks. Because you know what it is? I always say that I don't want people to... You know, the same dread... People dread weddings. When people hear weddings, there is a dread feeling.
Especially for the bridesmaids.
You know, so I always say the conversation is so... It's I want it to be easy for people to follow. Even if they weren't at a function or if they're not doing a wedding.
I want people to be easy to follow.
Easy
to
follow.
Can you do a recording of just us pretending to be recording?
Like video-wise?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And I think from... Yeah, that would be like perfect.
Okay.
What are we going to say?
I think we've got to mention...
Let me just close the door. So
actually, you know what I think would be perfect is... If you say... Because if we may... If we... Instead of asking and answering a question, just introduce us. So you can say, I'm Carly from SS School of Weddings. We are on... Clip Central, Wedding Central, blah, 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 blah.
Okay, fab.
Talking to Josie style.
Okay.
And actually throw that influencer thing in. I'll just put this on.
You got to put your earphones on.
Oh!
It's running, so I'll just pop up the end. Or maybe not throw the influencer in, because I'm just going to piss people off. Which is why I do it.
Get a reaction.
All my social media friends call them I'm an influencer. And I said, you and your 22 friends and a dog. Of course you're an influencer.
Are you putting your ones on?
Oh, yes, I should. Hey. Mm. And then also it hides my bald spot. Okay, so...
actually kay. Hilarious.
What questions should we ask? Actually, say...
Is your event worth attending? No.
Think of something.
You
don't have to pause because I'll just crop it.
Okay.
Record for like 10 minutes. What is the best quick? Because I want something that'll get people to listen.
What about like you've attended a lot of events? What is
how
your...
to get me to leave your function? Or
yeah,
is that too controversial?
No, that's perfect.
Okay, yeah,
you can maybe if you say something, Edward, you go to so many events all the time. I'm going to say, I hope you're not implying I'm an event whore.
you said it.
And you can say, well, you're going to these kind of events. What is the quickest way to get you to
leave,
to come or go to an event?
Okay. So who's doing an intro?
I'll do the intro.
Okay.
And then you can ask.
Okay, cool.
Let's get our angles right.
Ooh, I'm just watch that we don't break it. Okay. Welcome to Wedding Central with myself, Carly de Villiers.
And myself, Ntombi Ntlafo.
We've got the fabulous Edward Chamberlain Bell from Josie Style in studio. And we're talking all things to do with being a guest at a wedding and the actual experience of being a guest at the wedding.
Yeah, and an event.
And an event.
Edward, a lot of your job comprises of you attending gazillions of events. You know what I mean? I think, is it like every day?
You make me sound like an event whore.
Well, you said it, not me. But what is the quickest way, do you think, people can actually get you to leave a function? Like, you know?
The quickest way to get me to leave your function is basically to bore me to death. Is unlike the Colin Cowie As Good As Gold event, where literally I was thrilled from beginning to end with unexpected surprises. I think that was just the perfect, perfect event for me to go to.
Why, thank you.
And thank you for inviting me to Cliff Central.
Thanks for coming. We enjoyed having you. CliffCentral.com.